I have a quick email that I want to read. I'm actually going to be reading a lot of stuff this morning. But I sent out an email yesterday to the CLCC family, and I know that I probably didn't hit everybody, so Pastor Steve even thought it would be a good idea just to read that while we're trying to get our technology figured out here. It says, "Dear CLCC family," this is from me, "I am writing this message to you with great anticipation in my heart. As many of you know, God has been visiting His church in a powerful way at Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky. With its beginning from a typical chapel service that ended Wednesday a week ago, a few students, hungry for more of Him, stayed afterwards simply to pray and worship. As these few pressed in for more of God, He pressed in for more of them. Other students realized the unusual way that God was moving and joined those in the chapel. The presence and peace of God being palpable in that place, more students and soon people from the community came to join in. As God continued to show up, word got out of what was happening, and students began to come from other colleges and universities in other states to experience Him. Upon returning to their respective schools, revival then began to break out at their campuses. There are over a dozen other universities where a similar visitation is occurring. Churches have also started to experience revival as well, which brings me to my anticipation. I am hungry for a move of God at CLCC and Newville and surrounding area. I know many others share this desire. Let's prepare our hearts and decide now to be intentional to press into Him in both our personal prayer and devotion times, as well as our corporate times together, like Sunday mornings and smaller group gatherings. My conviction is that as we hunger for more of Him, He will show up and meet the cry of our heart. I am not suggesting that we work ourselves up into an emotional frenzy, although emotions are typically part of this experience. I am saying let's go after God the way we would go after a meal after not having eaten for a lengthy period of time. Out of desperation for nourishment, we would not let obstacles get in our way of eating. Similarly, out of a desperation for more of the presence, let's wholeheartedly pursue Him and not allow anything to prevent us from Him. The reality is, we are a needy people, needy for more of Him. So let's come together, fervently pursuing Him and encouraging each other in that pursuit. As we do, I believe we should expect God to come and meet us in a powerful way. He is a good Father. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Let's contend for the more that He has for us. Amen? Let's go after Him together, right? Let's not let obstacles get in our way. Let's just go. Let's just sell out for more of Him. Amen? And as we do that, I believe that He's going to come and visit us in a powerful way. Okay, looks like we're online. Great. I want to welcome our online viewers today. It's great to have you with us. For more information about our church, you can go to our website at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. And I just want to point out that we have a prayer request button on the website, and we have definitely seen an uptick in the number of prayer requests coming in. We're thrilled to be able to partner with you as you submit these prayer requests online. And we're also starting to get some exciting feedback about answered prayers. We recently had a person who requested prayer for a job that she was interviewing for and applying for, and we got feedback to hear that she actually got the job, and she was thanking us for partnering with her in prayer. So it's exciting to get that kind of feedback, and so we just invite you to go to the website if you'd like to submit a prayer request. If you're in the area, of course, we'd love to have you come out and visit us in person. Our gatherings on Sunday morning start at 10 o'clock, and we're at 3151 Rittner Highway in Newville, Pennsylvania. So welcome. It's great to have you with us today. I want to show just a quick video, just like a minute long. This is the Yeah, that one. If we can just show that for a second here, Ashton, that would be great. This is Asbury University. This is the revival that I mentioned in my letter to everyone. They're saying, fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. Yeah, with the presence of God. What's that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a line like a half mile long to get in. They're putting overflow areas in other buildings. Yeah. This is what revival looks like down in Asbury University as young people are hungry for more of the presence of God. They are not satisfied with the status quo. They don't want to play church anymore. They want something real. They want a real touch from God. Amen? I just love that. I love that. I love that. And here's the thing. I've spoken to many people about this revival, and I'm actually surprised the number of people that really haven't even heard about it. I mean, it's all over social media, and you know, it's getting a lot of coverage. But you know, some folks have said, I am thrilled for what's going on down in Asbury, and I don't want to poo-poo that in the least. God do it, you know, continue and cause it to grow. But the cry of their heart is, I want God to move here. Amen? I want God to move in a real way here in my community. I want Him to make a difference in me, in my family, in my church, at my workplace, with my neighbors. Amen? And I believe as we contend for Him, the more that He has for us, He will meet the cry of our heart. If we have that desperation, that hunger, that thirst, I said it in the letter, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask of Him? Amen? So let's go after it. I'm trying to stir something up here. And not to be caught up in emotionalism or anything. I want to get caught up in His presence. I want to get caught up in His love. I want to get caught up in His acceptance. I want to get caught up in His glory. Amen? And so let's just, again, continue to press in for more of that. I have a letter to read from Alex Seidler, who is the Global Ministries Director for Elam Fellowship and former classmate of some folks that we have here, Pastor Van and Pastor Steph, and I think even Adam and Becky were classmates of Alex way back in the day up on the hill at Elam. Just a short letter that kind of addresses the Asbury revival. He says, our founder, I.Q. Spencer, didn't see the words credentials written in the sky. He saw the word revival. And that is who we are at the core. Credentials, conferences, and resources are not secondary. In fact, they help us achieve our very God-given destiny. But crack us open, and at the center of Elam is a fiery, red-hot desire for a revival in every nation. Come on, that's who we are. As Elamites, we are revivalists. We have to have revival. We must see a move of God. What is happening at Asbury University right now is profound and a move of God so many of us have desired. What happens when God touches the universities? A cultural revolution happens. Students repent, worship, come together in community, encounter the presence of God, and from that place bring reformation to their own nation and to other nations as well. Thousands have attended. Over 100 students have pledged to missions overseas. They are using multiple buildings to host meetings on Asbury. Parking is a nightmare, and worship has been a heavenly dream. And now there are reports of this revival breaking out at other schools. It's a grassroots wildfire. No hype, no flash, just hungry people, desperate and desiring more of God. As Elam, we sent two missionaries to Asbury this past week. They drove through the night this past Monday to attend services, speak with leaders, and catch the wave of what God is doing in Kentucky. They have amazing reports, which we will be getting directly to you over the next week. Remember the word that was released over Elam Fellowship last Oasis Conference? Denny Kramer told us, a wave of revival is coming. Get ready. It won't look like anything else we've seen, but position ourselves to catch the wave. And dear Elam family, the wave is beginning to grow. I'm so thankful to be part of a worldwide revival fellowship, where one of our core values is we pursue revival. We pursue, discern, and participate in fresh moves of the Holy Spirit. Let's lean close, press in, and believe for God to have His way to the fullest. Alex Seidler. Let's go after it. Let's go after it, people. You know, I was talking recently with a friend of mine, and she was asking, what's been on your heart recently? And this idea of revival and a fresh move of God and a fresh touch from God has been stirring in me for a while. And I was just noticing that, especially in this South Central Pennsylvania region that we live in, typically, we tend to be a reserved people here, right? And that's not finding fault. I mean, there are definite strengths to being around someone who doesn't have these wild highs and everything, and we're just kind of steady eddies for the most part, and we're pretty reserved. But what I was pointing out was, when we are reserved to the things of God, then that is a problem. When we are lukewarm or apathetic to God moving in our lives, I have an issue with that. In myself, and in those that I love as well. Let's not be reserved. Let's not hold back. Let's not, we'll wait and see what God does. No, let's press in. Let's engage with Him. Let's wholeheartedly jump in these new streams of the Holy Spirit that Pastor Steve shared about January 1, right here in this pulpit. God is pouring out new streams of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can sit on the bank and watch the stream flow by, and other people getting in and engaging and being in the flow of God, and you can wave at them as they go by, but I would suggest let's all get in the stream. Let's all get in the river. Let's all get in the flow of God together and see where He takes us. Amen? This is a letter from Timothy Tennant, who is, I thought he was the president of Asbury, but I'm not 100% sure. He's a high-ranking leader at the school. And I just want to read some thoughts that he shared online recently. He says, something special happened last Wednesday in the chapel of Asbury University Chapel. The Lord began to move in the lives of a group of students. These embers have now been fanned into flame, and there is clearly a definite move of God in our midst. We should not spend too much time looking for human causality, though there have been many praying earnestly for years for this. It is first, last, and foremost a tribute to the grace of God to reveal Himself and to call a new generation to faithfulness at a time when we most needed it. There comes a point when the people of God become tired of casual prayers and move to the point of desperation, which opens us up in fresh ways to God's surprising work. That is what I have experienced most over the past week of my life. I have been reticent to write blogs or make a lot of public statements about this outpouring at Asbury because it is always better to stand in awe of something than to talk about something. I have been in Hughes Auditorium or Estes or both every day and night, and it is like stepping into a flowing spiritual river. Come on, let's get in the river. You sense the presence and power of God working in people's lives. Since last Wednesday, when the outpouring began, I have reflected many times on Jesus' statement about the Spirit when He says, "The wind blows wherever it wants." Just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. This is not a time to manage this or to try to shape it. This is the time to simply receive from God's hand. Several people have commented on some of the differences between these sacred days and the more well-known outpouring which took place in February of 1970. A lot has been said about the impact of social media in telling the story or about the focus on worship. However, a deeper look at this outpouring reveals that it has the same elements which are found in any authentic revival. Look at the fruit of what's happening in Asbury. People repenting of their sins, people being filled with the Holy Spirit, men and women finding reconciliation with God and their neighbor, people capturing a renewed love for Jesus, the gospel, and the Holy Scriptures. All of the above have been happening here day after day. Another similarity is that this outpouring has the same inner core and outer core as in 1970. There is the inner work of God in the lives of this younger generation. This is the focus of the outpouring. The leadership has wisely reserved the central front section of the chapel for them, for the students themselves, since this is their space and God chose to begin this work among them. The outer core are the hundreds of people who are pouring in from the outside, who are catching this fire and bringing it back to their churches and communities. Both are important. Another point regularly observed by those who have been a regular part of these services is the solemnity and peace in the various places where the movement has spread around town. Sometimes we envision revivals as times when people hear fiery sermons and there are big outbursts of emotion. This move of God is marked by quiet weeping more than emotive shouting. And in conclusion, he says, someday we will look back on these days and thank God that he visited us in ways we will talk about for years to come. But what we are doggedly seeking is not lasting memories, but transformed lives long after the lights go out in Hughes Auditorium or Estes Chapel or all the other places which we are experiencing this work of grace. In short, it is not about this place or that place, whether Wilmore or any other city. It is about Christ himself. None of us owns this awakening, but all of us must own in our own lives his work and his gracious beckoning to that deeper place. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, I hope this is making somebody hungry. I hope this is making somebody thirsty. I hope this is fanning the coals within us and bursts into flame. Amen. So what we've seen is God visit this Christian university down in Little Old Kentucky, and others have come to partake of what God is doing. We're seeing revivals in Cedarville University, in Lee University, in Samford University down in Alabama. Not only in other schools, but in churches as well. Just a quick testimony here from a church called Arise Church in Florida. Their pastor says, I have been in many moves of God all around the world, but I have never experienced anything like what happened at Arise this morning. That's the name of his church. Well over 50 spontaneous, fully clothed baptisms, dozens of healings, people healed and or baptized in the Holy Spirit without anyone praying for them. Demonic deliverances happening, testimonies of gender confusion being healed, spontaneous testimonies all morning. A person was overcome by God while watching the live stream in the shower. I mean, come on. Nobody's safe. Like, the presence of God can come right into your shower. But he says the list could go on and on. My favorite is the guy who said, he came up and gave a testimony and said, I'm an atheist. I sit way in the back, but the God who I don't believe in just told me to come up here and share this. I saw this testimony online, and the guy came up and shared that, and then the pastor led him to the Lord right on the platform. His wife came up, gave him a hug. His kids came up. It was beautiful. Don't you want that? I want that. I'm happy for Arise and for Brent Simpson down in Florida. I want that in Newville. And we need this in Newville. Amen. We need a move of God. We need the winds of revival to blow in Newville, to blow in CLCC and the surrounding areas. I was talking to Marty recently. Listen, we have a history of revival in this area. She was sharing with me a revival that happened just down Route 11 in the 1930s, about 90 years ago, at a United Brethren church. Okay. No denomination. It was an independent church, just a little church down the road here. And she shared with me there were many in her family that came to the Lord as a result of that revival, as a result of that move of God. This lasted 4 to 6 weeks, something like that. Yeah, at least 4 to 6 weeks. Just salvations, obviously. Many in her family got saved as a result of this revival that happened in the 1930s. We need that in Newville now. We need testimonies where we'll say years from now, there were many in my family. Remember the revival in Newville in 2023? There was 15 people in my family that got saved during that move of God. Don't you want those testimonies? Don't we want that for the people that we love, the people that we care about, the people who haven't received Jesus yet, the people that haven't received the touch of God yet? We want that. We need that. We need a move of God. We need revival. And I believe as we go after that, He will answer the cry of our heart. Amen? You know, the Lord has recently called me into kind of a season of prayer. And He told me, He said, Kurt, come to the mountain and I'll speak to you there. And so that's what I've been doing, you know. When the Lord asks, I think it's a good habit to say yes. I think that's a good response that we have. And so I've been going to the mountain. I've been going to Pine Grove Furnace State Park. And there's different places. And sometimes I'm in my car for a while. And sometimes I'm at a picnic table. And sometimes I'm walking on a trail, and sometimes I'm just overwhelmed by His beauty, the trees, the mountains, the lakes, all that. But God speaks to me, and I've been writing stuff down, and it's usually at least a page He gives me. Sometimes it's a couple, but He's been speaking to my heart about what is on His heart. And I felt like I was supposed to share just a couple short excerpts, because we need to prepare for what God wants to do. Amen? I mean, we hear about Asbury, and we're thrilled that God is moving. But there are practical things that need to happen. You have to have parking attendants. You have to have people to herd these crowds of people that are coming in. Who's gonna wash the toilets? I mean, just a very practical thing, right? Who's gonna vacuum the carpets? You know, what if a kid gets lost? Where's the lost and found? You know, we have to prepare for the move of God that's coming. Amen. So just a couple excerpts of things that I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart. I want to further develop my kingdom. I want a kingdom expansion in this region. I will develop some things in you first, and then you will share these things with others. I will establish some things in you before I have you share them with others. I will develop some mindsets in you, my developer, and then have you share them with others. Be transformed in my presence and allow my word to come and further shape you and the mission I've given you. Take my word, my roadmap that I give you on the mountain, and go and do my bidding. My bidding for people, for souls, for resources, for all the things, even big things, that I want to accomplish in this kingdom expansion. Let's dream together, my son. My dream is on earth as it is in heaven. My dream is souls saved and discipleship, that this region would be a stronghold of my kingdom, a stronghold of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, a prosperous region transformed by my Spirit being poured out continuously, a region marked by the gifts, a region marked by healings, signs, and wonders continuously happening, a region known as a prophetic community, a powerful people, a generous people, a people who are a conduit of the grace of God, a people who are able to flow with the King of Kings, a people who love Jesus and love others, a people marked by God. God is up to something. God is moving in our midst. God will respond to our hunger. He'll respond to our desperation. And whosoever will, if you step into that flow of God, He will take you places. You know, at Camp Pinnacle, I don't think we do it every year, but some years when we're able to, we have the kids in tube down the Conedogwinet Creek, right? When it's high enough, we do that, right, Pastor Van? Now, there's been a few years where, yeah, we've had butts dragging on the bottom because the water's really not deep enough. And so we make adjustments in those cases. But when we can, and the kids love it. And so they get in, like, behind the ball field, if you've ever been up there. You kind of walk back in the trees, and they each have these, you know, big inner tube. And we put them in there behind the ball field. And do they just stay in that place? Do they just tread water there? No. They sit in their inner tube, and what happens? The flow of the stream takes them someplace. The current takes them someplace. And we have a place down at the other end of the camp, like beyond where the old mud pit used to be, if you know where that is, where we station counselors down there, because especially some of the little kids, it's kind of hard for them to paddle over to the bank. And if we don't catch them, they'll just keep right on going with the flow, right? The current will take them all the way up to the Susquehanna River, which drains into the Chesapeake Bay, which goes out into the Atlantic Ocean. Boy, we'd have some upset parents if they ended up in the Atlantic Ocean. But they're going someplace. Why? Because they're in the flow of that body of water. God has new streams in the Holy Spirit that Pastor Steve told us about earlier this year. I would suggest let's get into the flow of where He wants to take us. Now, I'm not talking about a place geographically. I'm not talking about ending up in the Atlantic Ocean. I'm talking about a prophetic community. I'm talking about a region marked by healings, signs, and wonders continuously happening. How would you like to get in His flow and end up at that place? Amen? Count me in. I'm all in. I'm stepping in. I'm not on my lounge chair on the banks of the water looking at everybody go by. I'm in. I'm in. I want all of us to be in. My prayer is that none of us would miss out on this move of God that has already started in our midst, but that each of us, because each of us is a vital part of the whole body. And God has things that He wants you to do. He specifically has you in mind in this next move of God for certain things, for certain people to interact with. I don't want to miss it. I don't want you to miss it either. Amen? Now, when revival comes, there's often new souls that come into the kingdom. Amen? As we are faithful to go out and share the gospel, I remember hearing Randy Clark, I think it was in Argentina, which is known as the land of revival, and being, he was part of these meetings, and he said, you know, it really didn't matter too much what you preached. People were going to get saved during the meeting because there was just a grace, there was a presence, there was an anointing, there was just this spirit of evangelism and people, this hunger that was in the people of that region, and people got saved. So if we start seeing new faces, how awesome would that be? Yes, yes, baby Christians coming in. Here at other churches in the area, I say, let's not just fill our church up. God, fill all the churches up. Amen? Yes, fill all the churches up in Newville. And I'm telling you, as we press in and as God begins to move, Mike was just sharing with me earlier, he was saying, I need God to stretch me. Because I believe he wants to do so much more than what I'm even have in mind. So much more than what I'm even anticipating. And so I really am asking God to stretch my capacity so that I can keep up with him. And truth be told, I think we all need to pray that prayer. God, stretch me. Enlarge my capacity to be able to function in this flow that you are asking me to step into. Amen. He's going to do some amazing things. But not only is there going to be new believers, but then we don't just like pat them on the back and say, good luck, I hope you make it. No. Then the real work begins. Like we start discipling. We start mentoring. We start changing spiritual diapers, so to speak, right? Because they're baby Christians. And they don't know what they don't know. And so I just want to go over just a short, it's actually kind of a teaching that Dutch Sheets had online. And I thought it was so good. And, you know, we're talking about preparing for what God's going to do in our midst, preparing for this move of God that we believe that has already started. And I think this can help us to shift our mindset to prepare for what God's going to do in our midst. He says, several years ago, the Lord showed me the important differences between Christ's Great Commission of Mark 16 and Matthew 28. Each corresponds to one of the two commissions God gave humankind through Adam and Eve in Genesis. The first of these assignments or commissions was to be fruitful and multiply. Amen? That's what he told Adam and Eve. Be fruitful and multiply. Give me more kids, God said. Imagine that. Giving God a family. The second commission was to steward, manage, or govern the earth. You will represent my kingdom's government on this outpost of the kingdom, he told them. As we know, both of these plans were interrupted at the fall. God temporarily lost his family and his ambassadors on the earth. Jesus, of course, was sent to undo this interruption and restore the plan. This is what Christ was referring to when he said in Matthew 16, I will build my church. The word build means to build a family or household. In choosing this word, Christ was saying, I've come to get my family back. Church is the word ecclesia, meaning a legislative governing assembly. As I have explained before, by choosing this word, Jesus was saying, I have come to reestablish my family as my kingdom government on earth. Christ's other comments amplified and explained this further. He went on to say that this ecclesia would be given his kingdom authority, the keys, to bind and loose, and that the government, the gates of hell, would not overpower them. After reversing the setbacks and reestablishing these two plans at the cross, Jesus recommissioned his followers in Mark 16, 15 through 18, and Matthew 28, 18 to 20. These two commissions are different. In Mark's gospel, he said to go and preach the good news so that humans can be delivered, healed, filled with the Holy Spirit, and be part of God's family once again. In other words, he told them to be fruitful and multiply. Give me more kids. When this occurs with great momentum, we call it revival or awakening. Only after this occurs can we establish the second commission. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus recommissioned us to disciple nations according to his teachings. As my ecclesia, you have my authority. In my name, instruct and disciple nations according to my ways and principles, he instructed us. This results in transformation or reformation. Now, both of these activities, not one or the other, are absolutely essential. To understand them more fully, here are a few comparisons and differences between awakening and reformation. Awakening brings people into God's family. Reformation teaches them his ways. Now, I will say this, when you talk about words like revival and reformation and awakening, depending on who you're speaking with, there may be like a different nuance to the meaning of that. And some, actually, I've seen like the word awakening, like I think the letter that I read earlier from Timothy Tennant, I think Randy Clark would disagree with that meaning. It's okay. The kingdom's not going to fall apart over that. But just say that to say some people use words differently when they're trying to explain things. Okay? Does that make sense? Awakening births them spiritually. Reformation trains them practically. So you see the difference between the two? One's not more important than the other. They're both critical. And I will say this too. Some in the kingdom will have more of an emphasis on sharing the gospel and leading people to Jesus. And others will have more of an emphasis on discipling and mentoring. Is one better than the other? No. Is one different than the other? Sure. But are your body parts all different? Like your hand doesn't look like your foot, does it? No. And your ear doesn't look like your leg. But all the parts are important to the whole body, right? And so we can't like throw stones. Oh, they're just interested in sharing the gospel all the time. That's all they want to do. Well, glory to God. Let them share the gospel. Let them lead people to the Lord. Don't rain on their party, right? Well, they're only interested in mentoring and discipling people. Well, that's their assignment. That's what God's called them to do. Don't get down on them, right? We're a body. Awakening changes the human heart. Reformation changes the human mind, the thinking. We need both. Yeah, whoop whoop. Yeah, in the charismatic move that happened with the Jesus people, as historians look back, that maybe was one of the areas the church could have done a little bit better in. Like all these hippies were coming into the kingdom in droves. There were scores of people getting saved, but then the discipleship was maybe lacking some. And sadly, it was because people didn't like their appearance. Right? Yeah, sadly, it was that these new believers, these babies in Christ, were shunned because they didn't have the right haircut. They didn't wear the right clothes. They didn't smell very good. I mean, you're just being honest, right? Let's not be those that turn any new believers away. Let's love them. Let's release them into the destiny that God has for them. Amen? Awakening is internal, takes place within us. Reformation is external, is worked out from/by us. Awakening is accomplished through preaching. Reformation takes place through teaching. Is this making sense? Both are vital. Both are essential. And we need to get ready for both as God continues to move in this community. Awakening produces converts. Reformation produces disciples. Awakening releases God's life. Reformation establishes his laws, principles, and ways. Awakening saves the individual. Reformation saves regions and nations. Right? As our mindset gets changed and we come in line with God's way of thinking, and as a lot of us do that, that sways and changes entire regions and nations. Oh, who wants that in Newville? Yes. Who thinks we need that in Newville? Yes, yes, yes. Awakening, this is the last one. Awakening produces a family, a bride of, Awakening produces a family, a bride, worshipers. Reformation produces an ecclesia, those who govern, manage, and steward. Both are necessary. Both are essential. Both are important. Amen? So let's prepare our hearts for this move of God that has already started. Let's be intentional, amen, to go after God, not just on a Sunday morning, not just at men's Bible study, you know, not just in early morning prayer, but daily in our personal prayer times. Let's go after God. God, I am so hungry. I am so thirsty for your presence. And he will honor that. Now, this revival that has started down in Asbury, again, among the students there, kind of the student motto, kind of how they summarize it in just a few words, their motto is radical humility, ethnic unity. That's what they're all about. Radical humility. I'm humbly coming before you, God, recognizing my need of you. And ethnic unity. That's a word in due season, I believe. That's a word in due season. And we see anything but unity, even within the church sometimes, sadly. But as God comes and touches us and changes our hearts, and we begin to walk in the unity that God has always intended for us to walk in, guess who's going to pay attention to that? Everybody. Because where are they seeing that? Nowhere. I've heard people say they think we're maybe as divided as a nation as at any time in our history. Over, pick a topic. Everyone's got one, right? I mean, you can't swing a dead cat without having controversy over something, right? But as we come together in radical humility and ethnic unity, people are going to stand up and take notice of that, because that's going to look entirely different than what they're seeing in the culture. A people hungry for the presence of God. Amen? And so, as I mentioned earlier, you know, this has all the signs, all the marks of a real revival, where people are repenting, people are crying out for more of the presence of God, people are being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to wrap our time up this morning by giving us an opportunity to engage with God that way. And we're going to throw a worship song on here in a minute. And I know that Pastor Van had a time for us similar to this recently, where if, you know, we just went before the Lord, and if there was anything that he was asking us to give to him, and some of us engaged in that and did that. And so, you know, repentance, again, is, you know, changing your mind about a matter. You know, a lot of people give the example where you're walking in a certain direction, and repentance is you stop and you turn around and you choose to go in another direction. And I like that. We change our minds about a matter. In other words, say I'm walking in this direction, and my core belief is that speaker doesn't like me. No, my core belief is that, you know, God's disgusted in me. And he would really just rather wipe me out than anything. He's so angry at me. And that's what I believe. And I'm walking in that direction. Repentance is, I get a revelation. God's not mad at me. He's not angry with me. He's actually crazy about me. He loves me. And I turn and go in this direction, and I renew my mind that I am accepted. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's for me, and if he's for me, who can be against me? And I start to walk in that direction. That's what repentance is. Sometimes in our minds, we have this idea that, you know, I deserve to be on death row. because of this, this, and this. And but God in His grace is going to forgive me. Yeah, God forgives you, but He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. He's crazy about you. So what we're going to do is, like I said, we're going to put a worship song, Ashton, if you'll put that on. And the altars are open. And please, come forward, get where you need to get to meet with God. And if He's dealing with you about an area of repentance, deal with it. If He's dealing with you about receiving fresh from Him, fresh outpouring of His love, a fresh outpouring of His Spirit, receive what He has for you today. If He's calling you into this flow of His stream of His Spirit, step into the flow. Whatever, like Mary said, whatever He says to you, do it. Like she told the servants at the wedding reception when they ran out of wine. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Amen? Okay, so Ashton, if you would play that, that would be great. And maybe we could dim the lights up here too.
Be lifted high. Be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high.
Yes, Lord.
For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high. Be lifted high for your glory.